Hello there. Welcome. This is Hear Her Sports, and I'm your host and producer, Elizabeth Emery. And this episode is the very last cross-country ski race report of the 2024 season. Do go back to listen to all of them if you haven't already. They are terrific and offer such an interesting view of a national World Cup team. To wrap up the season, today on the podcast, we have Sydney Palmer-Ledger. Sydney is one of the young racers on the National B team. She made a quick trip to Falun, Sweden for the season finale, where she skied to her best ever World Cup result, a 23rd place. Right before Falun, Sydney capped off a stellar collegiate career with a victory at the NCAA National Championships in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. Sydney is actually a three-time NCAA National Champion. She was also a member of the 2020 Junior World Championship Silver Medal Relay Team, and she is a 40K Classic U.S. National Champion. Before Sydney decided to focus exclusively on ski racing, which we talk about in the episode, she also raced mountain bikes. In fact, she is a five-time U.S. Mountain Bike National Champion. In the episode, Sydney discusses some tactics in the 20-kilometer freestyle race in Falun, starting in the back, the upcoming U.S. National Team Camp in Bend, Oregon, and traveling as a vegan. Sydney is part of an exciting-to-follow strong class of skiers climbing up the ranks and representing her nation at the top level. We also hear about what's next for her post-college and her goals for the 2024-25 season. But let's get to it. Here is my conversation with Sydney Palmer-Ledger. Well, hi, Sydney. Thanks for being here. You're sort of wrapping up the season, and I'm excited to talk about that and find out a little bit more about the last World Cup in Falun, Sweden. And yeah, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on here. I really appreciate it.
So start off by just telling me about your trip over to Falun, because you were just there for a short time, correct?
Yes, that is correct. I was only over there for 8 days. I was competing at the NCAA Championship in Steamboat Springs, Colorado, a day before I left for Falun. So it was really quick turnover. But since I was done with all my collegiate races in my collegiate career, I decided just to go over to Falun, even though it was a really quick trip. And so it was pretty incredible being over there.
I bet. So you said that the NCAA championships were your last race of your collegiate career total. So you're a senior.
That is correct. Yes, I'm a senior. I started in 2021 over COVID. And now my fourth year at Utah. And so it's pretty incredible going from a freshman, winning both of those races in Jackson, New Hampshire. And then this year I won again as a senior. So it was a pretty surreal feeling, kind of nostalgic racing with Utah for the last time.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about like the comparison between the World Cup and the NCAA. But first, let's talk a little bit more about this Falun race, because you did very well.
Yeah, that is correct. I was 23rd in the skate day. That was like the only start I had gotten for that competition, just how they did discretion. And I was pretty happy to get that race. You know, I'm better at longer distance, and so... and mass start. So just go out there, try to do my best and try to work up. I started 46th. I think that was my start bib. And just slowly through the 20K, just pick off people, skiing with some of my teammates and just play it really smart throughout the course.
How is it to move within the field? It looked pretty congested in some places.
It's pretty challenging. There is definitely better parts of the track where it's faster and where people will make the move up the hill. You kind of just have to be on your toes, kind of knowing what the field is going to do and picking your strong points of the course and like making moves whenever you can. But try not to get super frantic and knowing that it's a long race and just, I guess, yeah, trying to find every second where you can make a move, but not gonna hurt, like not going somewhere where it's stupid so you crash or take anybody out or, yeah.
Did you have tactics going into the race? Some sort of plan, like knowing where to move up or what else you were gonna try to be doing?
I think some of my plans were just, yeah, make as many moves up as possible, trying to stay relaxed, trying to stay powerful. There wasn't too many big hills, and so that was my strong suit. I'm pretty powerful on the flats, so picking the start of the loop where I would make the most time around people, and then kind of drafting on like the downhills to save some energy. It was a red loop and then a blue loop, and so we did 4 laps total, but 8 laps of both red and blue. And so on the last lap, that was kind of where I wanted to make my moves around people in my group.
I'm glad you mentioned this red loop and the blue loop because it was sort of confusing on TV to watch it. So you would do one of the loops, you would get back basically the start finish, and then you would do the other loop.
Yeah, I think we started with a blue loop, or I might be wrong, but we started one loop and then you come through the stadium and do the exact opposite.
Right, okay.
And then you just, yeah, keep going out for 8 laps, doing the
Right.
exact same red and blue course.
One of the things that I've been curious about in terms of tactics is, I come from a cycling background, and so the team will get together and you'll discuss the tactics as a team, like what everybody will contribute to the team goals. Do you guys do that in skiing at all?
We have team meetings every night. We don't really talk about kind of team tactics. It's more like individual. But most of us train, like I train with Jesse and Julia in the summer. And so I kind of know like where they would push compared to other people. And so you can work with your teammates, but for the most part, you're kind of out there for yourself and drafting behind other teams and other countries. So, I mean, I would say I used to compete in mountain biking, so tactics are similar but aren't really used in Nordic skiing, or at least in the women's side. Women kind of go really hard from the start and try to just drop everybody, while cross country men kind of work together until the last second and then they make their move.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of wondered if, like we know Jessie is one of the strongest on your team, like would some of you help her or go up front early on to give her a draft or, something like that? I mean, those are cycling tactics, so.
Most likely not, or at least for me, since I have not the best start. If I could get to the front, that'd be amazing. But usually throughout the course, I'm just trying to make my way up to the front. And by that time, it's like 2 or 3 laps in. So I'm just
Right.
working, since I'm only 22, to like get my points better, to get a better start. And then, because that just puts you off better for the start of the race and getting into a better place from the beginning, instead of having to work your way up as
Right,
people
right.
are already started.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing I noticed. I'm sorry to be keep comparing to cycling, but you are a cyclist, so
Yes.
there's some reason for that. Like in cycling, you all start basically at the same place, but it seems in skiing, the difference between the person who starts first and the person who is further back in the field is it's a big difference.
It is a big difference when you are like 46. You're quite far back there, so you have to do probably a good 10 seconds before you even get to where those, or maybe a little bit less, before where those first people were even starting. Compared to biking, where you guys are all really close. I remember having to, there's always say like sharp elbows, like, because you want to be in front, like it's really tight. You don't want to like catch bars with somebody and crash. So it's hectic in biking because it's so tight together.
And I gather too that you're totally committed to skiing now. You're not mountain biking
I'm
anymore.
not, sadly. I quit around what, 5 years, 4 or 5 years ago,
Okay.
which is kind of sad. I love mountain biking and I was part of the Bear National team, but it was hard to juggle both,
Yeah.
the balance of training in the summer, roller skiing, where you build your like biggest base, and trying to compete for mountain biking was just kind of impossible. So I mostly stick to just having fun, I'm in Stratton, Vermont in the summers, so close to Leah Davidson. So we go gravel riding a ton of, and she always tries to convince me to go to Quebec and do some of the mountain bike races. And yeah, I just have a lot of fun with it now.
Well, that's good. So what was the difference between, like the NCAA championships and going on this World Cup?
Yeah, I would say there's less pressure with World Cups, honestly, just because with NCAAs and having really good past results of winning and just kind of the pressure to compete for myself and compete for the team and hopefully get like a national title. There's definitely a little bit of stress and just like my last collegiate race, so wanting to perform well just as my last hurrah. And then World Cup, there's not as many expectations, so I kind of can go into it like I did when I was 11 years old and just get everything I got, push as hard as I can in some parts. And then, if you don't do well, it's definitely a bit of a bummer, but I have a long career ahead of me racing World Cups. So, yeah, it's really cool just to see all of the older athletes, Jessie, Julia, Rosie, and kind of just learning from them and racing with some of the best in the world. So seeing Klaybo out there on the course and Emma Rebom and just enjoying the time that I'm there racing in Europe.
That sounds fun. We've talked over this series of race reports about the dynamic of the team and the support of the team. It sounds like, in addition to supporting the top racers you just mentioned, they also support younger athletes like yourself. And so they are allowing you to come in and not expecting you to, make the podium.
Yes. So the US ski team helps cover for the A and B team. And so being on the B team, they cover expenses to get to World Cups and a tech. So it allows a lot of us who are racing collegiate to race for our teams in the United States and race super tours. And then whenever we can get away from our college races for whatever races we are able to leave, then we can race World Cups. So it's really fun to balance both. A couple years ago, or maybe more than a couple years ago, that was not even possible. If you were racing World Cups, there was no way that you could race collegiate as well. You had to choose one. And so having your degree going through college is definitely the way that most athletes are going these days.
When will they start, I don't know, applying a little more pressure for results for you?
It's definitely starting to a little bit more than like my first couple World Cups last year when I went to World Champs and I was 20th. I think that's when it kind of started a little bit more. I kind of just from there knew that I would just get better and better. And in Falun, that was my best World Cup finish. So I think people have their eye out for me now. And so if I don't race well in World Cups, there's no collegiate racing. So kind of have just World Cups like as my goals from now on.
And at the end of Falun, like, what was it like celebrating with the team? And then, of course, you had to pack everything up and go home.
Yeah. It was incredible. It's kind of just like a big family out there. I love being around this group and all the techs, and they're just, we watched the boys race and then they had the super sprint and then the tech relay. And so we were all just up on the hill watching the techs race, and every athlete was out there from every country, and it was really fun. And then it was a long day. We went to the after party and then we had to leave at 1 a.m. for our flight and then
Good
come back
God.
to the United States. And so it was a 3 hour drive at 1 a.m. to the airport. And then I think a like 19 hour travel day. And I flew into Minneapolis and then had another 3 hour drive to Duluth for this competition that I'm racing at the moment. Yeah.
What are you racing now?
So we are racing Super Tour finals, and so
Ah,
we
okay.
did a 10K classic individual start, a sprint, and then yesterday we had a team sprint, and then tomorrow we have a 40K
Oh my
mass
goodness.
start.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we just got around 5 or 6 inches last night, and it's still snowing, so 40K on probably a foot of snow is gonna be a little challenging tomorrow.
Yeah. And how are you feeling? I mean, you must still have jet lag and whatnot.
Jet lag is not too bad. I'm definitely getting a little tired by the end of the season, kind of ready to take a break. After this, we have some fun races. We have three in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and then three in Sun Valley, Idaho. So
Oh, you still have a lot of racing
I
left.
still have a lot of racing, but and getting a little tired, but it's just gonna be fun races. And if it doesn't go well and my body's tired, not the biggest deal, and then take a couple weeks off before we have to start up again and go to Bend Camp.
Yeah, so your season will end in a few weeks, it sounds like. And then when you take off, do you really take off?
Yeah, so I will go back to Salt Lake after all my races, finish school since I haven't been back in probably 3 weeks. And so I'm graduating pretty soon. So the first Friday of May, I graduate, and then we head to our Bend Camp in Bend, Oregon for 2 weeks. And then a week or two after that, I'll move out of my college house and head to Stratton for 5 months until basically September. And then we'll have Park City Camp in October, and then hopefully head over to World Cups in November. So pretty busy schedule from here on.
Yeah. Bend Camp is earlier than I expected.
Yeah, they've been kind of moving it earlier and earlier each year just because this like level of snow. This was not like our best year of snow at Bachelor and just out west. So I think they're just trying to have the best conditions they can. And honestly, I don't mind because then I can go home for a little bit before moving out to Stratton, Vermont. And we can go crest skiing in Bend and not having to deal with a foot of slush when we have in the past when we were at end of May.
And the Bend Camp is US Ski and Snowboard
Yes,
Camp.
it is
Yeah.
a US ski team camp for 2 weeks, but a lot of professional teams join as well. And so we'll have open workouts where anyone can join, and then some workouts where it's just the US ski team. But for the most part, the mornings where we're skiing up at Mount Bachelor are open for most of the pro teams to join us.
And what's the aim of that camp so early in the off season?
Yeah, we usually have two US ski team camps a year. We have Bend Camp and then Park City Camp. And then during the summer, some people go to New Zealand or to Norway. So we kind of just try to like train as a whole group together and getting on snow. So training volume and intervals and speeds, just in a cool area. And then, yeah, just getting on snow. It's definitely pretty early. But I think most people go to Bend Camp and take a little bit of time, pretty mellow, before we start up like our big volume summer training. And I think everyone loves Bend Camp. You can go riding in the afternoons and then skiing in the morning. And it's just kind of a way of there's not any pressure of competitions. We could kind of just train as a group. We have a bunch of meetings about what the schedule and calendar look like for that next upcoming season, just being around the coaches and yeah, just trying to figure out technique, all that kind of like fine-tuning things that we can't do as much once racing starts.
Right. What are you going to take away from your trips to World Cup racing and also your last collegiate season and bring into the next season, but certainly also this off season where you're going to be training, as you said, on specifics that you can't train during the season?
Yeah, I guess just I've been having to balance collegiate life while racing World Cups, being in school, finishing my degree. And so it gets easier, like traveling over to Europe each time. So I'm honestly just excited for this next chapter of my life and racing World Cups, heading over for period one, hopefully, and just staying over there because jet lag is definitely tough on your body. So when you're over there for a couple months at a time, it feels a lot better.
Do you have any like technique that you need to learn or tactics or I mean there must be something like super specific. You're like, oh wow, I need to get better at that.
Yeah, I would say we do a lot of technique work in cross country skiing. Most of the time when we're training in the summer, in the fall, you're working with your coach, you're looking at video, trying to see of like what kind of movements you can do differently. So you're always working on something. It might be like super small. I would say for me personally, I have to work on sprinting and just kind of the fast twitch coming from Park City, Utah, and elevation and a biking. I'm better at endurance and like longer distance, and more powerful. So working on those like quick movements is something I'm not like super good at. So definitely working on that the last couple years being at sea level in the summer. I love sprinting too. I'm not the best at qualifiers, but if I do make it past qualifiers, I definitely do better in heats. And so that's what I'm working on is like that really fast, explosive qualifier to make it in top 30. And yeah, just qualify and make it through the rounds. And it's definitely needed in distance racing as well. If you're in a pack and you can't sprint, you're gonna lose a couple places in the end because there's a lot of sprinters that are good at distance as well. So you're fighting tooth and nail into the finish.
Right. Not to get too nitty-picky, but do you have any like super specific goals for next year?
I think just trying to get more top 30s and hopefully making every period of the World Cup. And yeah, I guess just that, just kind of, I try not to have as many like result-based like placing wise. I find it better to like just do my best training, try to take care of my body and fueling and give it everything I can. I used to get super nervous and stressed, and try to like have a result-based goal, and that didn't work out super well. And I ended up not enjoying skiing as much when I had those goals. And so I'm just trying to like enjoy and love racing and being no matter where we're racing or at, and just finding the small things that I can get better at.
I like those goals. And I'm also glad that you mentioned fueling because I read on the US Ski and Snowboard site that you're a vegan athlete.
Yes, that is
So,
correct.
I'm just dumbfounded how you're able to do that in traveling. I mean, not just traveling, but traveling to Europe. And I don't know, it must be very difficult.
It is pretty difficult. I would say my first time going over to Europe, I was a little shocked at how I was gonna fuel and how I could do it. So I grew up vegetarian since birth, so I've never had any meat. And then 12 years ago, my older brother of he's 3 years older than me, had a bike coach who was vegan. And so my family wanted to just try it out. And then we all went vegan. And now it's been, let's say, 12 or 13 years since I've
Oh,
been
wow.
vegan.
Wow. That's a long time.
It is a long time. Yeah, before they had all those alternatives.
Yeah.
For the most part, I just have to like kind of say what I need. And if there's things that they're not giving me that I need, I will just tell the kitchen, tell the hotel. And if I can't get that, I'll go to the grocery store. And there's always, things I can supplement with. For the most part, this past couple of years, they've been pretty good about having alternative things, I guess. Yeah.
Do you bring a lot of stuff with you?
I do bring a couple of things. I bring a lot of like bars just in case, and then like protein powder, just in case there's not enough protein, I can just add that to my oatmeal or after a workout.
Do you have any advice for other vegan athletes who are wanting to do what you're doing?
I guess just not try to worry as much if you're getting like a balanced or balanced meals, carbs, protein, fat, trying to like stick to simple things. Having in Europe, it's a lot of rice and potatoes, and then trying to add like legumes or seeing if they can make like quinoa or lentils or tofu. Those are like easy things I would say I've found in grocery stores over in Europe. So if you can just add that and try to like get enough in before your competitions, that is definitely essential.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, this has been great talking to you. I'm glad I was able to ask you about veganism too. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, sure. This has been really great. And I have not, I don't think I've talked to a vegan athlete before.
Probably not. There is not that many in cross-country skiing, to be
Yeah,
honest.
yeah. I mean, have you found it? I mean, do you find that people try to convince you to start eating meat or eggs or whatever?
Yeah. Growing up in high school, there was a lot of people who were like, "Oh, I'll pay you this much if like you try a piece of bacon," or
Oh,
like,
ew.
yeah. And I was like, "No, that's not my lifestyle." I was like, "I'm good." And I don't know, like since I don't have those like biomes, like it would just kind of mess me up for a couple days. So it's just like not worth it, and like doing it for the environment, but also like personally. And it's like pretty good for your body to like not have as much meat and dairy. And so, yeah, I guess I don't tell people I'm vegan right away because there's always a stereotype of like, oh, you're a hippie, you're gonna try to like convert me over to like veganism. And so, yeah, I let them find that out themselves, and then see like then I'll tell them.
Right. Have you noticed any, and I mean, you're doing so well, like this is sort of a goofy question, but have you noticed any lack of performance abilities?
Not really. I've had some issues with like body image, so that's kind of like the only issue with like performance is just under fueling for like how much we train and how much we race during the season. If you don't get enough to eat, it's definitely like pretty impactful on your
Yeah.
performance.
Where are you getting the bulk of your calories?
I would say like we do a lot of like, yeah, just like carbs, like if it's like rice or pasta, and then just adding any protein, beans or tempeh or tofu, or yeah, and then just like veggies and like a salad. Kind of simple. Like if you think of like a non-vegan diet, they do like, if you think like a lot of like my teammates, they do like pasta and like chicken and or rice and something. It's pretty similar to that. You just have to like change a couple things out.
Right. Well, thank you. Thanks so much.
Yeah, of course.
And that is it, our final 2024 Cross Country Ski World Cup race report. Thank you, Sydney, for bringing us home. And thank you to all of the U.S. cross country ski women who were part of these race reports. It's been amazing and so loved by Hear Her Sports listeners. So thanks for listening today. Be sure to listen to all of the other race reports because they're just excellent. We've been getting the chance to meet U.S. athletes like Rosie Brennan, Erin Bianco, and Julia Kern, just to name a few. For all of you cross-country ski fans who have tuned in for the race reports, keep listening regularly. There's always something to learn from other sports and from each of the incredible female athletes who come on the show. Go to hearhersports.com to contact me, sign up for the newsletter, listen to all of the episodes, and support the show through Bookshop, Neboso, and through Buy Me a Coffee. Hear Her Sports is grateful to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. Until next time, bye-bye.
Running should be simple. Just put on your shoes and go. And yet, when you try to learn about how to get better at it, especially as you age, you're confronted with conflicting advice, complicated workouts, and confusing nutrition trends that just won't work for you. On The Planted Runner, I'll share exactly how to run faster, longer, and feel great doing it at any age because you don't have time to waste. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and I went from not running at all in my late 30s to finishing a marathon in 2:58 at age 42, all on a plant-based diet. I've helped hundreds of runners achieve new personal records well into their 60s and even 70s with science-backed training, plant-based nutrition, and proven mental strength techniques. Each episode of The Planted Runner is like a private coaching session on the run where you'll learn from me and the guests I interview. You'll get actionable lessons to help you become a better runner every week and reach goals you never thought possible. Whether you're training for your first 5K or your 50th marathon, take along The Planted Runner on your next run. Let me show you how your best running is still ahead of you.